Welcome
to the Local Economic Development Podcast,
hosted by Sean Cunningham
and Joachim Meyerstammer.
For other programs in this series,
please have a look at www.ledcast.net. Welcome to this episode of the LED Cast, which we intend to frame as a little bit of a reflection, both on our own learning process and also with a bit of conversation, a bit of discussion about the feedback that we got, the comments that we got on our website. Sean, do you want to start reflecting a bit on our own learning?
Here, I will start by saying that this LED course started off as a little hobby and a little experiment. But by now we have so many listeners and so many people giving us positive feedback that we're having to take this show far more serious, and we actually enjoy the kind of feedback that we're getting.
Right, I agree with that. And as a matter of fact, one of the most amazing things that I became aware of is that there's a couple of people, especially in South Africa, who are not only listening to the podcast, but actually playing it. So they are gathering a group of people who are interested in the topic of LED, and they are playing the podcast to those people, to this group, and take it as a starting point of a conversation, of a discussion about key issues around local economic development.
And this really surprised us, because firstly, that the quality of a show, in order to make it small enough so people can download it, really doesn't permit for broadcast, but it seems that the low quality certainly didn't deter people from doing this. And we know of two groups in South Africa and one group of students in Germany that's downloading the show and then using it as the start of a facilitated discussion. So on this point, we would really like to know from our listeners, how do you use the show? Where do you listen to it? And is the content, the detailed content of the show, deep enough for you to actually have a valuable discussion after the show?
Maybe to add to that, what we would like to do in the future is to have different types of formats, different types of shows, where we could, for instance, go into more specific tools, where we could go into more specific case studies, share some practical experience from some of our activities on the ground, but also other people's experience on the ground. And I think it would be extremely useful for us to get some more feedback from listeners in terms of what they expect and in terms of what they would find useful for us to address in the podcast.
And on that point, we have found that some people have sent us comments, and we really appreciate and value these comments, but we are wondering why we are not receiving more comments. And we've also had a lot of people phone us and give us verbal comments. We really want to motivate our listeners to please send us comments, because these comments really give us an idea of how much detail we should discuss in a show. So if you have any ideas, or if you have a topic that you think we should go into more detail, then we would really appreciate to hear from you. And you're also welcome to comment and reply to some of the comments that other listeners have posted onto our website, so that we can maybe get a little bit more of a discussion going around some of the points that we received.
Maybe what we should also mention is that producing a podcast like this one is a bit of work, but it's not really like a huge amount of work. Some people asked us, so what do you do before you start this? This sounds like you are scripting everything and then go through it, like you prepare an awful lot. And the simple truth is that we don't do that. We have a brief conversation amongst ourselves where we highlight a couple of key points that we want to address. So we typically end up with something like one page of a bullet list of points that we want to cover. And then we get going. Record the conversation, and after that, then usually I sit down and do some editing, take out the herbs and the and that stuff, and that's about it. So also, if you want to give us some kind of guidance or some suggestions regarding topics that we should cover, don't fear that it might be too complicated or too complex. If we can cope with the topic, we will be more than happy to address the topic, and it probably won't be too much work for or too much bother for us.
And we also value the comments that we received about what we sound like. I remember that somewhere in just after show 4, I received 3 or 4 emails from people saying, "Sean, you sound extremely serious." And for those of you that know me, this is not really how I usually communicate. So Jürgen and I decided from show 5 not to cut out all the uncontrollable fits of laughter and laughing. And we received a lot of positive feedback around that. So it certainly helps us to refine our podcast based on your comments.
Maybe let's have a look at some of the comments that we actually did receive. So some people commented on our strategy podcast, the show on strategy. Is there anything specific that we should respond to there?
Jörg, Colin Mitchell from South Africa actually pointed out that he would have liked if we had discussed the strategy elements, the different kinds of strategy, in more detail. But unfortunately, this was not posted onto the website. It was a verbal feedback. But we also received a feedback from Iris from Germany, saying that she's very happy with the content and that she found one of the shows, one of the other podcasts that we referred to from the Social Innovations Network, to be a very useful reference and a very useful input there.
And then we got a brief feedback from our good friend Zini, who basically says, well, this is all very nice what you're saying about strategy, but how do we make that compatible with the usual approach to strategic planning that we see in our country, which is your country, South Africa? And, well, that is definitely one of the good questions and one of the things that we often confront. So we say, well, why don't you try it like this? And then people say, yes, but there is this established practice, there is this common way of doing things, and how can we change that? Any ideas on how to respond to that?
I think Zini's point was also that in South Africa, the LED process often starts with a strategic plan that is very often not really detailed enough to tell you what to do. So Zini, I think our challenge in South Africa, but also in other places, is to really use our facilitation skills and our knowledge of these different kinds of strategy and to show people that a different kind of strategy formulation is possible. But I must also say that we did that show also to be a little bit provocative, because we wanted to show that this whole idea of always just starting with strategy as a plan is not necessarily a good one. But even if you have no choice and you have to start with strategies as a plan, I think being aware of the other kinds of strategy will certainly influence the way you conduct that LED process.
Right. Talking about South Africa, we had this other show where we looked specifically at local economic development in South Africa, and Doug Heinzen sent us a long, long comment on that, a very insightful comment on that one, where he observed that, well, some of the points we were making, such as LED should look at business, it should look at competitiveness, is something that is evolving, emerging in the South African discussion more generally. So he pretty much agreed with our point there. But then he also made an observation, namely that one of the challenges that we didn't really address in that show was around the racial divide in South Africa and the distrust that is generating, and the constant suspicions that are generated through this these lines of discussion, which are often organized along racial lines. I must admit that I kind of avoided the topic because I found it very touchy, and I've sometimes been on the receiving end of those items. So still, maybe this is a good opportunity now to just comment on that.
Yes, I think that one of our core problems in South Africa is that we still lack a lot of social trust between different business people. And you will notice then that in South Africa, we emphasize this building of social capital and building of networks as a really critical point. Another point that Doug raised is that all the funding that is available in South Africa doesn't necessarily make LED much easier. And we have actually noticed a very interesting trend that the bigger the budget for LED, often the more difficult it is to come up with a sensible LED approach. And in some places where there's no resources and hardly any funding, LED tends to very often come up with some very innovative activities. So we should also just clarify that the fact that we have LED funds in South Africa this far has not necessarily always led to better LED.
Also, one of the points, obviously, is that in order to move anywhere near meaningful LED that has a significant impact, it is absolutely crucial to bridge the racial divide. And, for instance, it is absolutely paramount to involve not only black communities and other previously disadvantaged groups, but also white communities into local economic development. Try to build on the experience of white business people. Try to also boost their business prospects, because it's often them who will generate new jobs and better jobs for people.
I think also that we have been concentrating for a long time on advocating what people should not be doing in LED. And I think that the time is ripe for us to start being a little bit more precise about what exactly people should be doing in LED. So, you know, we notice everywhere in Africa the entrepreneurship levels is low compared to other countries. If you look at the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor's inter-country comparison, then our rates of successful entrepreneurship in Africa is definitely lower. And I think as LED practitioners, we will be increasingly challenged by what is the most sensible way to generate new businesses that will actually survive. But at the same point, I want to just make a comment that we should also in LED be careful not to just think of LED as business formation and as business people, but also think of LED as a way to improve the quality of employment. So also think of local stakeholders as employees and how employable they are. And maybe a third concept is to look at the communities that we work in also as people wanting to have access to better products. So to also look at local stakeholders as consumers. We must be careful not to always just push the rights and the opportunities of the business people without thinking of employees and also of consumers. And an example of this is in South Africa, where there's a tremendous resistance against the building of shopping malls in rural areas, because it would destroy the jobs of 200 hawkers or informal traders. But if you think of it from an employment perspective and from a access to consumer goods perspective, you find that the benefits outweigh the disadvantages. And you also find that these communities change dramatically when these shopping malls open. Many of those hawkers go into baking simply because they can now gain access to flour and baking equipment. And they very much prefer that over sitting in the sun selling fruit.
So just to summarize that argument, what we often observe is that everybody seems to suggest that the one thing that we need to focus on in LED is entrepreneurship, and trying to turn pretty much everybody into an entrepreneur, which, as we know, is a completely unrealistic suggestion, because there's only a limited number of people who have the personal traits, the risk friendliness, the tendency to think in innovative ways that turns them into genuine entrepreneurs. And we often observe that this issue of, well, job creation, the possibility of expanding existing companies, creating additional jobs, more and better jobs, is underestimated as one of the objectives of local economic development. So we have LED as something that looks at entrepreneurs, but not only. LED as something that looks at jobs and job creation and business expansion. But we also have LED as something that looks at people as consumers and that wants to improve the consumer experience of people, because that is one of the important elements of a decent lifestyle and a good standard of living. Let us look at one of the other comments, one of the other items that was commented upon. So again, Zini was quite thrilled with our show on LED as a process.
Yes, and in this comment, Zini just highlights two important points. And the one is that LED events and workshops is not as simple as just pulling people into a room and having a discussion or facilitating a workshop, but that this building of trust is far more sophisticated than this. And she also highlighted the point of workshop fatigue and people simply just getting exhausted of participating in various meetings. In a later show, we actually dealt with that of the pressure to on us as LED practitioners to build innovative events that is more stimulating than it is tiring, so that business people and government stakeholders can really participate in a very creative and safe environment, as opposed to just running business meetings as usual, where lots of agreements are made, but nothing really happens as a result.
I think also one of the very important points that Zini highlights is that very often we find that people are engaged in a workshop, maybe even a nice workshop, maybe even a workshop where at the end everybody feels energized and has the feeling that this was now a very useful exercise. And then everybody goes out, everybody goes home, and right, and after that not much seems to happen, because maybe there is really not much happening. There is not much follow-up. People don't follow up. There's nobody who takes responsibility to actually implement activities. But also maybe because people don't communicate about it. Perhaps there is quite a few very tangible activities coming out of a process that was kicked off with some nice workshop. But people don't really talk about it. They don't advertise it. It's not in the local media. There's no website anywhere that would highlight these activities. And so those people who don't happen to be actively involved in some activities think, ugh, that was another waste of time. There's just nothing practical that came out of that. And I think it's one of the very important conclusions that we have to draw, that whatever happens in local economic development, we need to talk about it. We need to advertise. We need to highlight. We need to report about things. We want to have something like a regular column in the local newspaper. We want to have a regular segment in the local radio program so that we can inform people about things that are going on.
And during the show on the three meanings of facilitation in LED, I mentioned Natasha Walker, and she actually commented on the show and highlighted the fact that you cannot really separate facilitation from communication, that facilitation is far more than running a workshop, that facilitation is about creating the right setting, the right environment, a conducive environment for learning and exploration, but again highlighted the importance of communication and public relations before the event and after the event and throughout the process. So it's just important to highlight the relationship between facilitation and communication. And then the other comment that we received was from Zini. And Zini picked up on something that I mentioned during the show. And that was the statement that I made about that workshops are not really meant for data collection. And I think that this created a lot of confusion. So I wanted to just clarify that what I meant there was that running a workshop, even if you use a workshop format, is not just about collecting information. We do collect information, but the importance of a facilitated workshop is about getting the stakeholders to do a joint analysis, for them to see the information that is coming out and to respond to it. Whereas, as in typical quantitative research, there's a distinct activity of collecting information and then a distinct next step of discussing and analyzing the information, where if you're involved in this kind of work, your challenge is to actually having to sell this data and the analysis to local stakeholders. Where in workshops, they are part of generating the knowledge or the information and turning it into something useful.
So the way you put it in that show, it sounded very much like PACA mini workshops are rubbish. And that was not exactly what you meant. Actually, what you tried to say was just the opposite, namely the basic principle that guides PACA mini workshops is, well, doing a couple of things at the same time and ultimately saving on the time of local stakeholders, not wasting their time, but doing several things at the same time. Raising information, sharing information, connecting stakeholders, starting to build some trust among stakeholders. So doing multiple things all at the same time and thus using time in a much more efficient way and not at all wasting the time of local people. That was what we wanted to comment about about the comments, responding to the comments that we have received. So this was also now kind of the wrap-up of this first series, which was kind of our training ground and our learning, our own learning experience around, about how to do a podcast. The idea is that from now on, we are going to come up with a couple of distinct series. So there's a couple of different ideas that we have of types of programs, formats of programs that we would like to come up with. Sean, do you want to just briefly introduce some of the ideas that we have already?
Yeah, the one idea that we have is that people are asking us for more practical shows that is focused more on practice and LED practice. And I guess with that, they also mean some of our favorite workshop formats. So we will next record a series of shows looking at very practical activities in LED and maybe highlighting how to use some formats and some LED activities. And those shows, we will also end by highlighting some very practical tips and also maybe discussing some of the comments received from our listeners immediately closer to the time that we received the comments. The second idea that we have is that we're also receiving a lot of requests from people for us to dig deeper in some of the concepts and some of the theories behind some of the points that we often raise in our training. So we also thinking of doing a series of shows that's a little bit more theoretical in nature and that will be more conceptual. And we have decided that we actually going to try and alternate between these two show formats so that we don't bore you just with practical things or just with theoretical things, but that you can get exposure to both.
So that will then be something that we need to, where we need to redesign the LEDcast website in such a way that for people it's quite obvious what is the series that looks at more theoretical, conceptual things and what is the series that looks at very practical things. And also, again, what we should highlight is that we are very much interested in your suggestions, in your ideas. Also, if you feel that there's a couple of interesting experiences that you would like to share, we will be more than happy to do that, to actually have a probably a Skype-based discussion with you where you explain what you are doing in local economic development, and we then comment on that and interrogate your experience. So if you feel that you want to share some LED experience, some of your practical experience in local economic development with a wider community of practitioners, please indicate that to us, and we will be more than happy to offer you a platform to do that.
So the intention for us with this podcast series is really to get some discussion going. So we also want to invite you to share this show with other people. We've had people asking us whether they can share the podcasts with friends and colleagues. Please go ahead. Distribute it as far and as wide as you can. But also remember that we really depend on the discussion that comes out of this. So sometimes we intentionally a little bit provocative, also so that we can get a little bit of a discussion going.
All right. I think that is pretty much what we wanted to share today. Thank you very much for listening. And as usual, please do refer to our website, www.ledcast.net, and have a look at it to see what is coming up next.